This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Double whammy for hurricane victims.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. A lot of folks hit hard by the hurricanes last year took another blow yesterday. A federal judge ruled on one couple's complaint that their insurance company wouldn't pay for the damage to their home. More now from Stacey Vanek Smith.
It's the first of hundreds of so-called wind water cases. Turns out many Gulf Coast residents were covered for wind damage, but not water damage. That was the case for Paul and Julie Leonard. Their insurer, Nationwide Mutual, said most of the damage to their home was caused by storm surge water, not wind, so they weren't covered. The judge agreed, so instead of the $150-some thousand the couple was hoping to claim, they will get about $1,200. The Economic Policy Institute's Jared Bernstein fears this ruling could influence industry practice.
I'm afraid to say you're going to find lots of insurers chomping at the bit to view this as a wide-ranging precedent. Put in lots of fine print that folks may or may not appreciate and figure that the courts are going to tilt their way when the case is somewhat ambiguous.
Nationwide said it was pleased with the decision and reminded policyholders that they need to read the fine print. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
We got numbers on wholesale inflation yesterday. They were tame, so Wall Street threw a party. The Dow shot up 132 points, more than a percent, to 11,230. The Nasdaq soared more than 2%. The S&P 500, a percent and a third. Today, Asian stocks had a banner day, and oil dropped below $73 a barrel. What comes to mind when I say pod? Aliens? Peas? A certain music device, perhaps? Apple wants other companies to stop using the word pod in their product names. Apple's been sending out cease and desist letters to these companies. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
Apple worries the proliferation of products that include the word pod confuses consumers and undercuts the value of the iPod brand. Trademark lawyer Christine Haight-Farley of American University says Apple may have a point.
I looked at the trademark office's database, and there are almost 500 applications using the word pod. Now, some of them have nothing to do with iPods, but many of them do. Just for example, pod skins.
Or a form-fitting case many users carry their iPods in. Farley says a court would make its decision based on whether consumers genuinely mistake the other pods for Apple products. The next battleground, she says, could be those companies with a lowercase I before their name. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
If you have to toss out your toothpaste when you get to the airport today, don't worry, Avis has your back. The rental car company has teamed up with Procter & Gamble to put little bags of toiletries in its cars. Crest toothpaste, mouthwash, floss, for starters. This is a quick reaction to the new airport security measures that prohibit bringing liquids on planes. Many hotels have started offering gift bags as well for weary travelers. This is Marketplace. We'll find out how much we're paying for things this morning. It's called the Consumer Price Index. But as Hillary Wickay reports, it doesn't always reflect inflation reality.
It turns out that using a price index rounded to just one decimal place produces an inaccurate inflation reading almost one quarter of the time. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics may start publishing the index values to three decimal places. Patrick Jackman is a CPI economist with the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
That would reduce the probability of misrounding here from 25% to essentially a quarter of 1%. And we feel that this information would be useful for the markets and for policymakers.
Wall Street has been worried about reports of core CPI rising in each of the past 4 months by 0.3%. But 0.3 might have looked less worrisome if it had really been 0.251, for example. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
Which comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters. The facts without spin, as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now. And by Fast Signs, providing sign and graphic solutions to businesses worldwide. Information available at fastsigns.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Young people in China are a little cynical about college. In a new survey, a third of graduates say their education was a waste of time and money. Jocelyn Ford reports.
Half of the students surveyed said they didn't learn anything practical in university, and 40% told the China Youth Daily newspaper they couldn't land a job. That's a huge difference from a decade ago. In the 1990s, Chinese graduates were guaranteed a job. The government gave them one. Now that the market economy is taking over, that's no longer the case. Meanwhile, colleges are increasing enrollment to earn more money. But critics say the exam-oriented education system is churning out passive bookworms rather than people who are useful in a business. Larry Wang is a career consultant.
So a lot of these university students, they don't have real-world sense.
China is in the midst of trying to reform its education system to make students more creative. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
Despite the skepticism, China and India produce more computer engineers and scientists than the U.S., and China's getting a lot of new research centers, too. Commentator Robert Reich ponders the implications for the states.
The question has to be asked, why aren't American companies investing more in cutting-edge science and engineering? I mean, they have more profits than they know what to do with. Well, it turns out American firms are investing lots in science and engineering. The problem is they're doing less of that here and more elsewhere. Dow Chemical, for example, is building a research center in Shanghai that will employ hundreds of Chinese chemical engineers. Microsoft's research center in Beijing recently beat out MIT and Stanford with papers at a leading global software conference. A few months ago, IBM opened a software lab in Bangalore, India. Last year, Microsoft announced a $1.7 billion investment in India over the next 4 years, about half for R&D at a center in Hyderabad. Google's Indian lab spearheaded its new Google Finance software. The list goes on. Recently, the National Academies surveyed 200 U.S. and European corporations and found over a third shifting more research and development work to China and India. And most are decreasing R&D in the United States and Europe. So when you hear America is in danger of losing its competitive edge, it's not that American companies are losing ground, it's that Americans are losing ground. U.S.-based companies are not putting much pressure on Congress or the administration to beef up American science and engineering because they don't depend exclusively on American science and engineering, which means they aren't lobbying hard for better-funded graduate programs at American universities, better and better-paid teachers of science and math in American schools, or a requirement that the research and development tax credit be used only for R&D in the United States. Yet without the concerted push from American business, it ain't gonna happen.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich now teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Sure, it's easy money as long as...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.